are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you.
Of the Up to Me Magazine Show, your inspirational go-to platform for behind the scenes with industry professionals and talent in Christian entertainment. Join us today with our very special guest, pastor, actress, author, singer, screenwriter, and host, Ms. Terry B. Sofer. I'm your host, Gabby G., because I was born with the gift of gab, a trait that each of my friends and family can all attest to. So whether you like to talk a lot like me or you're just a great listener, please join me in my virtual Gabby G Cafe and be inspired along with me as I introduce to you each morning another fabulous guest to inspire and educate you. Each week, I will welcome our guest and invite you to join me in conversations on diverse topics that relate to our journeys in awakening and living in our life purpose. I'm blessed and humbled to be a part of this Christ-led team, and I do not take this opportunity to serve as your host for granted. Here at Up to Me Magazine, we love to encourage and empower each other to be the best that we can be. So this program is truly meant to be a platform of voices to be heard and expressed in a safe and non-judgmental environment. We are pleased to announce that Up to Me Radio is now on TuneIn through Alexa and Google Home. Simply say, "I want to listen to Up to Me Radio on TuneIn." Or listen to Up to Me Radio through Google Play Music, as well as Stitcher and iTunes. Join our nearly 1 million listeners in uploading any one of these apps on your mobile or Android devices. Up to Me Radio can also be found on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Whether you're a new listener this season or a loyal present listener to this program, you now have the ability to be a subscriber to the Up to Me Magazine show. Simply go to our website at www.up2meradio.com and click on the show image to receive promotional giveaways, discounts, hot deals, and more. Well, last week, I had the privilege of having actor, director, and producer Kemi Arnett of Kemi Arnett Production Studio to talk about the release of his latest award-winning film, Maddie the Discovery. This episode and film was so well received with our Up to Me Magazine listening audience that I wanted to bring on the screenwriter of Maddie the Discovery to talk about her inspiration for this anointed story and her third annual upcoming women's conference, Hear My Heart Firestarter, October the 12th through the 14th at the College Hill Presbyterian Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. My amazing guest this week is no stranger to script award-winning projects. She is the founder and president of Streets of Gold Productions and the Streets of Gold Global Ministries, with over 16 years of experience as an award-winning writer of stage plays, movies, music videos, and books, including a Stellar and Black Essence Award for music and production of her gospel stage play, Grandma's Hands, Best Feature at the Greater Cleveland Urban Film Festival for Amber Park, The Beginning, as well as 2015's Best Screenplay at the Urban Media Makers Film Festival for The Unfortunate Faces of Portia de Pre. She's won Best Screenplay for Enemy Witnesses and Best Producer for Sister Abel's Closet in 2017. In 2018, she won Best Short Film at the Christian Family Film Festival for The Call and Best Screenplay for her script in Orlando for The Whispering, as well as high honors for Maddie the Discovery. Her speaking credits are diverse within the conference circuit as well. As a comedian, she has opened for such artists as Def Comedy's Chocolate and other notables. She is a versatile actress, hostess, entertainer, and hosting her own show on WCVG 1320 and 91.7 FM HD in San Antonio, Texas. Please help give me a very warm welcome to Pastor Terry B. Sofer. Welcome, Terry.
Good morning. Boy, that's a lot.
That's you.
I love to meet that lady.
You didn't realize how impressive you are, did you? Well, God bless you.
That's pretty cool. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. We are so blessed to have you here this morning. Because you have so many gifts and talents from the Lord, you're a pastor, singer, author, screenwriter, host, actress, and producer. It's amazing to me. But you also have such a passion for the hearts of women, and much of your writings and screenplays and films seem to me to focus on the emotional hearts and spiritual gifts of women. So today, I wanted to focus on the inspiration behind your latest film, Maddie the Discovery. And then after our break, we'll go ahead and talk about your Hear Our Hearts Women's Conference. It seems very dynamic, coming up in October. But first, I just wanted to introduce you to our listeners, so let them get to know you a little bit. So how did you know that you could write? Was it something that you would aspire to as a child? Like just was always writing in your room or just something you loved?
Oh, my gosh. That is funny. Okay, so I used to tease my mom that I've been writing since birth and that I was the one who actually signed my birth certificate. I don't know how to do anything else. So I believe I was born with the pencil in my hand. You know how they talk about John Henry being born with a hammer in his hand. It's the way I talk. I was born with a when I grew up, I had a really, really bad speech impediment.
Wow.
And I had a horrible stutter, really bad stutter. And so the way I communicated was in my writing. So if I wrote it, I meant it. If I wrote it, then I said it, and I backed it up, and I stood behind it. So there was no way for me to recant it. If I wrote it and gave it to you, that settled it. And so I would find myself getting in trouble and stuff in school, and I never had the conversation or the gumption even to go and tell my mom this is what I did. So I would just write her a note and slide it under her door and then hurry up and run and jump back in the bed and pull the covers up over my head and just wait, you know, for the sweet blessing of sleep to overtake me while she was in there reading, you know, whatever my fallacy was or whatever my mistake was or my mistake, you know, whatever my issue was, I would write it to her and slip it to her under the door instead of trying to have a conversation that required too much interpretation.
Did she ever save those little notes?
Oh, good Lord, no.
It would be fun to read them.
Right. Well, after a while, she realized when she woke up and saw a note that I just needed my butt beat for whatever reason. She didn't even have to read it. She just knew I did something wrong.
So you only wrote it down because you couldn't get it out. You couldn't express it,
right.
So you wrote it.
I could not. So I would usually respond to whatever stress or trauma or issue I was facing. I would respond by just writing it down. So I have no formal education when it comes to writing. I've never been to school for it. I, you know, never took a class, never took a course. It is just how I communicate. So it is my divine inspiration.
Well, it is. Well, it's very apparent that it's divine and that it's anointed. But how did you mention that you had a speech impediment? My goodness, you would never know. How did you overcome that?
I still have it. I still have it. You catch me in a bad day and you'd be like, Lord, have mercy. Please give her the gift of silence.
No, I just,
it's real,
you would never
yeah,
know that you stuttered.
Yeah, it's real bad. Yeah, it's real bad. And the thing is, when I'm preaching, when I'm praying, when I'm parenting, I don't have it. It's only when I'm in a place of weariness or tiredness, or
tired.
You know, if I'm worn out, then yeah. But otherwise, I have to really think about what I am saying and how it sounds. So I don't. I'm one of those people that don't like to waste words, because it's very important to me that you understand what I'm saying, and so I know exactly when Terry B. begins and ends, and I know when God begins in me, because I have to really think about what I am saying and how it sounds and slowing myself down and being purposeful in my speech. So I don't just say stuff just to be saying stuff. Now, there are times when I'll say something, and yes, it's intended to be funny, but I meant it.
Yes.
I still meant it, you know.
Right.
You can laugh if you want to. I did mean what I just said. So
I love it that you're very purposeful and thoughtful, mm-hmm. and you think mm-hmm. before you speak, which is something that I could certainly abide by, because I have the gift of gab, and I just talk and talk and talk and talk, and sometimes it is empty. Just, you know, people will
right.
say, my goodness, you have the gift of gab.
Right.
It wasn't like,
right. That is a gift.
You know, it's kind of a play on words, because my mom used to just say, I grew up with 9 sisters and brothers. Most people know that. And my mother would say, you are the gabbiest of all the children. We all can talk, but she goes, whew, you're gabby. Because I would go up to my neighbor's house and knock on the doors and say, you want to hear a poem? I have a riddle. I have a joke. You want to see me dance, do something? And it didn't even need to be good. I'd sing something. It wasn't... It didn't need to be good. I wanted the attention is what it was. So I guess coming out of a large family, you want your voice to be heard. And that's something that we'll talk about after the break with mm-hmm. the women's, mm-hmm. women's conference. But I can relate to that, because I think I wanted my voice to be heard, whether it was purposeful, if it was emptiness or not, it didn't matter. I just wanted a voice to be heard. But I have learned growing up to be more purposeful, and to speak for the Lord more out of my mouth than for myself, which was something I had to learn growing up as a child. So I love that you just said that and incorporate that in what you do. And I think that is very anointed as well. So
right. Thank you.
Is. I believe it is. And it's a wonderful thing for you to teach others because of that and what you've learned. That's amazing to me. Well, so then how did you begin writing faith-based films and plays? Is it a different process than your novels? I know you've written a lot of novels, and some of them have turned into plays and films, like Maddie.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you begin writing them? Is it God-inspired? Does the idea just come into your head, or you just sit down and let it pour out of your fingers?
You know, it's funny. I don't think about it. I don't think I've ever thought about it. And thought about it in that way, where, oh, this is, you know, God inspired, or this is God, you know, produced. I've always, all of my life, I've had a sense of good and evil. And saying this in any way to sound all ooey gooey super spiritual, I'm not saying that. Even before I had a relationship with God, I have always had at my core a sense of good and evil. And I believe that portion is absolute God, because, you know, we all have this intrinsic worth that is instilled in us. It's instinctive in us. And God's given us that moral first cause. You know, he's given us, you know, in order for you to know the difference between good and evil, there has to be this moral first cause, and you know that comes from the moral lawgiver, which of course is God. But all of my life, I've seen bad happen, and so I would begin to write things where good always overcame bad. It didn't have to be good and evil. Just the good always overcame bad. I grew up in a very volatile household, and my father was a drunk and very abusive man. And so I would begin to write stories where the monsters always were eradicated. They were always destroyed. They were always, brought to nothing. Victory always was in the hand of the underdog. And so I would write about love. I loved love stories. My mother used to tease me all the time and say, "Why is everybody in your poems falling? Why everybody falling? They falling in love, falling, everybody falling. Nobody is able to stand in any of your stuff. Everybody falling." And I would write about how, this move from pain to prevailing took a spill. It's always a way to slip and fall out of yourself into this better place. And I know that sounds all, I'm not trying to be deep, but there's always this coming out of and into something. And I would write, how some people say, there's this saying that people who have been abused, or especially, sexually abused, they either become very sexual or they avoid sex altogether. And it's where you come out of where you've been and you grab control of your life in whatever form or fashion, whether it's positive or negative. So I came out of my negative environment, and in the world that I purposely placed myself in, everybody was happy. Everybody was victorious. Everybody was overcoming. Everybody was in love. There was nobody using anything painful to control somebody else. There was nobody inflicting a hurt on somebody you said you loved. And so writing allowed me the liberty to be free in a world that I was not currently living in.
Part of.
Mm-hmm. So I could be free in my planet. I could be free in my head, in my visions, in my dreams. I could be free, even though I was very, very bound in my real life.
I love how, and what you just described is heaven. That's the Lord. I mean, where everybody's loved, and the Lord is unconditional love. I love how you chose to concentrate on the love that maybe you didn't, wasn't encompassed around you while you grew up, and yet you still had that beauty of and that wanting of that love and to want the world to be to have that love in you. So I just think it's beautiful that you didn't have that bitter, you didn't have bitterness, that seed of bitterness or anger, but you chose the opposite, which is love, for your stories and for your own little world. And I just think that's the love of the Lord, like deep inside of you, and the Holy Spirit that maybe you didn't even know was there, but the Lord was showing you deep inside of you his Holy Spirit love that's pouring out through your stories. And I think that's part of your anointing. It's beautiful. And I love how that you're open about that. First of all, thank you. And like I said, this is a safe and non-judgmental environment here. It's beautiful that that you can talk about that, and there's no judgment here on that. And it's okay to be deep. We have deep conversations. Yeah. It's okay to be deep. You have to apologize ever for that here. No,
yeah,
it's beautiful.
I'm certainly not ashamed of my beginnings. I am definitely not ashamed of that. It made me, and a lot of people say, it made me hard and mean and this, that, and the other thing. No. You have control over what it makes
exactly.
You can buy the egg, and it is your choice to boil it, to fry it, to, poach it, whatever you're going to do to it, and I had a choice, I decided that I was going to do something better. I was going to do something different, and I wasn't going to just default to what somebody imposed on me and become that thing. I wasn't going to become that thing.
But and I know your mom is so proud of you.
Well, I pray she is. I pray she is. I know when she passed, she turned to me and told me that she was very proud of us. So,
I'm sorry she passed. So. I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. No, that's fine. She's still my mama. She just ain't
that's
here.
That's it. She's just with the Lord. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
That's such a beautiful story. I just so appreciate your sharing that with us. And now I get a greater essence of, you know, who you are and why you are the way you are and why you're so joyous. And if you ever speak to her on the phone, you just will know that, like we are today, she's exactly who she is right now. She's just full of joy and full of love and full of victory. You're full of victory as well. You're just so amazing.
Amen.
I'm so blessed to even know you. But
thank you.
One of the things that I really love is, and this is the other thing, is that you chose to utilize your gifts and talents for the Lord through film and stage, but you also have two production companies that I'd like to talk about quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Is your, and I love the tagline, Giving God Glory Globally, and that's your Streets of Gold production company and Streets of Gold Global Ministries. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Streets of Gold production company. So this is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Mm. So I take all of what God has given me, and because I'm so tangled up in it, I get consumed often about with my writings, and so everything in my life God uses. Mm. Everything in my life He uses. There's nothing. I remember when He talked about Jesus breaking the bread. And then after He's fed the 5,000, He tells His disciples, go pick up the scraps, put them in baskets. And so they can keep living off of the excess. And excess, a lot of people devalue the excess in their lives, thinking that if I have a lot of leftover pain and suffering in my life, I can't use any of that stuff. I only want to use the excess blessings and the excess miracles. But, you know, the excess scraps from pain is also something somebody can use. For example, in the production company, my son was born with a condition, and I remember it just like it was yesterday, but my son was born with a condition, and the Lord told me to take the word and tie it around his ankle. And in the Old Testament, it talked about how you take the word and you tie it around your neck so that it's always in your face. It's always on you. You always have it in your presence. And so I made this jewelry collection called God's Word Works. And it's so you wear the word. I make it. There's little silver beads, and it's got scripture on it. Something that says healing, something that says forgiven, something that says delivered. And then I give you a little card, a little gift card that comes with the jewelry, and it'll have the scripture on it. By your stripes, I am healed.
That's fabulous.
You know, yeah. And so you'll have this, and so that you meditate on this word day and night. And you wear it as a bracelet around your arm. And the card tells you to meditate on this word day and night until you receive what you're wearing, what you're believing for. And so I started giving them out as gifts. And, of course, it became too, you know, costly for me to do that. But that's how the whole production company started. I started with jewelry, started with a T-shirt God gave me. Jesus did it, D-I-D, it, and did it stands for, it's an acronym for Devil is Defeated. I remember
Amen.
Waking up and He just gave me that, you know, and it's Jesus, D-I-D, it, Jesus, the Devil is Defeated. So
that's
if you
awesome.
Wear this, you have this on you, and you know that no weapon formed against you can prosper. And so He's given me plays and given me songs. The very first song He gave me was Still My Child. And the Still My Child song is not one of those songs where, you know, it's a praise and worship song, but it's not from the perspective of somebody who's got victory. the Still My Child song says, you know, let my heart be reconciled that no matter what I have done wrong, I am still your child. You know, so, you know, and that's basically telling people that no matter where you've gone, where you've been, how long you've stayed, who you've done it with, how many times you've done it, when you finally make up your mind, when you finally make up your mind that you want to get it right, you've got to reconcile, balance the books between your heart and your past and make up your mind that no matter what you've done, you can come to God and he recognizes you as not the mistakes you've made, as not the person that's messed up, the person that requires so many helping hands up. He recognizes you as his child. And so that's how the production company got started. And everything I write, I try to creatively carry the cross of Christ. I try to use it to creatively carry the cross of Christ, because not everybody is going to come to a church. As a matter of fact, in this new culture, people are staying away from church or anything that appears to be church. So I try to creatively carry the cross to people to where they don't know. They've just received a word from God.
Oh,
right.
That's beautiful. And so I just love it. Let's back up a minute to talk about what you just said about how that you utilize, you know, you're not defined by your past and who you are. And I feel like I'm talking about Maddie for a minute, about Maddie the Discovery. I feel like that's exactly seems like the premises for that film. And I don't want to give the movie away, but in talking with it last week with Camille, and giving us the premise of it, but it seems as if in Maddie the Discovery, you helped her to reconcile her past and her gift and her emotions from her past and how to reconcile it with the gift that the Lord had given her. So can we just talk real quick about that? And why did you choose to write about the Holy Spirit gift of being able to see into the lives of other people?
Okay,
so that's a true gift from the Lord.
Yeah,
right?
It is definitely a true gift. Prophecy is definitely a true gift. And the thing I love about Maddie is that Maddie is an unclean temple. Okay.
Yes.
So let's start that. Let's start right there, because a lot of people think that in order for God to use you, you are perfect and spotless and clean and holy and religious. And that is a lie. That's a trick from the enemy. That is a bona fide lie, okay? He uses who he wants to use.
Mm-hmm.
And most times we're flawed.
That's it.
Most times we have personal issues that prevent us from being qualified. Meaning we didn't get this opportunity because we were virgins and because we were doing wonderful, pure, holy things when God found us. So that's not the case, okay? Maddie is a bit of a punk. She really is. She's kind of, you know, she's kind of rough around the edges. She's kind of, you know, she's aggressive. She's assertive. You know, so the gift God gave her, especially in the discovery, is, you know, I know something about you. And because you hurt me, I can use what I know about you to hurt you far more than you could ever hurt me.
Wow.
Far more, because that is the flesh finding the faith. For the first time.
Wow.
That's flesh finding faith for the first time. Okay. And it's a different thing when faith has to fight. When flesh has to fight, all flesh knows how to do is to swing, to punch, to cuss, to holler, to fight back. That's what flesh does. Flesh fights back. But when flesh encounters faith for the first time, Now flesh has to learn how to be silent. Now flesh has to learn how to be still and know that you aren't God, but that there is a God who's in control. And so Maddie had to learn the hard way what she's seeing and not just blurt it out. Because even when God gives you a gift, there's a time to use it. There's a time to use it.
There's a responsibility behind it.
Right. You can't just because you're a cop, some things just aren't in your jurisdiction. Some things just are not in, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. You can't just go in somebody else's neighborhood who's under a different authority and start firing your firearm off. You have to be able to know where you belong and where you fit in the scheme of things and where your gift will make room for you. Your gift should not be a grenade.
Oh,
where you just go in and just start blowing up stuff. Okay,
oh,
you've got to let your gift make room for you, announce you, and that's what Maddie's gift is doing gradually in this story. It's announcing her. You know, it's saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He couldn't just come in there and say, "Hey, I'm Jesus," and break up John's ceremony. You know,
it's true.
John had to back up, go to the side, step to the side and say, "Okay, now I'm done baptizing y'all, but behold, there's somebody else coming in that's going to baptize you with much better than this water." And if John hadn't have made that announcement, then even Jesus would have been out of line. Even Jesus would have been out of order.
Right, and they had the Holy Spirit dove to, like, say, "This is my beloved and whom I am well pleased. This is my son." And with the dove, just to kind of solidify his authority.
The period, right.
Yeah.
He had to have, even Jesus would have been out of order if he had just come in and say, "Well, this is who I am and this is what I got the power to do. And you might not know who I am. I am the Lord. Okay, I am Jesus." Okay, Jesus had to do things in decency and in order too, and so that's what Maddie's being taught. You have to, just because you know a thing doesn't mean you're supposed to tell it. It doesn't mean that there's a time for you to tell it. And so her grandmother is teaching her, no, you're not just gonna take God's gift and just use it because you can. You have to use it when He declares it's time for you to use it.
For his
plan
and purpose, not your own.
Right, not your own. A real prophet, that's why the books have to come in order that the books come in. And a lot of people say, well, the Old Testament Bible, the books didn't, you know, Ezekiel came before this, and Malachi came before that, and all that. That's right. But you don't ever see the prophets working in the same book.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
so you have Jeremiah book, and you don't hear Jeremiah talking about Ezekiel, how Ezekiel is opposing Jeremiah and all this different stuff. There's different stages when they show up. Jeremiah had his season, Ezekiel had his season, Isaiah had his season, and they went in that order. And so Maddie is trying to do something in order. She's trying to learn how to do things in order, and that's what Grandma in the story is about, because Grandma is also a prophet, and Grandma has to give way to Maddie eventually, but Maddie has to learn how to do what she's doing. And so you have an Elijah and an Elisha moment in Maddie, where the greater prophet is trying to teach the minor prophet how to use her gifts.
I encourage everyone to please go see this movie. It's amazing.
And buy the
it is
book.
One of it, and it or buy the book. Yes, thank you for that.
Right.
Yes, or buy the book, and it's one of a series of three. So you definitely want to read the first book or see the movie, just so that you can read the other sequels. It's very powerful and has a lot of amazing lessons in it for all of us through the story. So. I want to hold that thought, because we're going to take a short station break, and when we return, we're going to talk with you about your Hear My Heart Firestarter Women's Conference, which I think is a great segue from what we were just speaking about. So we'll be right back with Pastor Terry B. Sofer.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
And we're back with pastor, writer, producer, and actress Terry B. Sofer of Streets of Gold Productions and Streets of Gold Global Ministries. If you have a question or comment for Terry, please call 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. Again, that number is 347-324-5246 and press the number 1 to come on air. We'll be taking calls about 10:45. So, Pastor Terry, you're here, and that's an acronym, HEAR. My Heart's Women's Conference is coming up on October the 12th through the 14th at the College Hill Presbyterian Church in your town of Cincinnati, Ohio. So before we talk about this conference, I wanted to just go ahead and have us take a quick listen to the trailer for this wonderful conference.
There are lots of things that divide us as women.
Age.
Economics. Education. There are lots of things that make us different.
Your race.
And your background.
But what unites us, what pulls us all together, is greater than what separates us. What goes on in a woman's heart is far more complex than what's in her head. Her whole world is in her heart. It's in her heart that she keeps her fear, grief, worry, loneliness, and doubt. What unites us is more important, more significant than what divides us. Because all women of every walk of life share one common goal. And that is to be heard.
I just want to be heard.
Our greatest fear is that no one is listening. Hear My Heart Women's Conference. Register today at www.streetsofgoldproductions.org. Or for more information, call 513-328-2806.
That is going to be a powerful, powerful weekend, Pastor
yes.
Terry.
Yes.
My goodness. Tell us about the inspiration behind the name of the conference first and the acronym here, because it's H-E-A-R. It's an acronym. Can you talk about that?
Okay. It means her emotions are real. And part of what I think women and men kind of, you know, this Mars Venus thing that they say that we've got, you know, but I think part of it is that we don't hear each other's stories. We listen. And so when we're listening, we have a tendency to look for commonality, look for familiar, look for, you know, things that might be offensive. Things that, you know what I'm saying? It's like if somebody is talking to you, you're not hearing what they're saying. You're listening for. So your mind, you're more tuned in to hear something that might set you off. And so what happens is once you get it, once you listen and you hear that thing that you want to talk about when they're done talking, then you cut off the rest of the conversation. And so the Hear My Heart. The Hear My Heart is saying that even though you don't agree with what I'm saying, you might not like what I'm saying, you might not understand what I'm saying, these emotions for me are still very real. You don't get it, but it's still very real to me. I remember the first time I was trying to explain to my husband about, you know, being coming up in an abusive relationship. My, you know, first marriage was very abusive, and he couldn't get it. Why did you stay? That doesn't make any sense. Why did you stick around? Why did you hang in there? Why did you try to make it work? And there's a lot of reasons that you can't even explain, because the more you explain it, the dumber it sounds.
You know, I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to be by myself. I didn't want to have a divorce. Everybody else in my family had a divorce. Nobody else in my family got married. I was the only woman that got married in my household. You know, I didn't want my kids to grow up without their daddy. You know, and so the more you talk about why you're doing what you're doing, it sounds insane. But even if it sounds insane, it's still very real. It's still very real. It's still very real. It's what I used to survive. You know, it's what I used. It's my reason for living. You know, even if it was killing me, it was still the reason I needed to live. You know, so why do you take bullying from somebody that you know if you would fight back, they would stop bullying you? Well, the real answer, some people don't want to hear the real answer, that I probably deserve to be bullied. I feel like I feel like as long as that person feels good about bullying me, then I'll just take the bully. You know, these are real emotions. These are real emotions. Well, as long as he wants to be with me, he can hit me. You know, it's not a big deal. It's what he wants that's more important than what I need. And but these are real. These are real emotions. And so I'm trying to bring people to a place where for the first time in their lives, for some of these women, they are able to break their default habits.
Oh, that's fabulous.
I want them to break their default habits, that thing that takes them right back to square one. I don't care how far you try to advance. I don't care how you get promoted. I don't care how many doctorates you have, how many degrees you have. When you walk out of that public place into your private arena, you default back to your old habits. And so what I want to do is to try to get people to see that this is where it needs to begin and end for you. And that we all have this, not black me and white you, not tall me and short you. We all have this issue. And that there are so many things that we have in common that our differences are so few, they're almost irrelevant. It's irrelevant because most of the things make us different, we can't take nowhere. It doesn't go anywhere. There are abused rich women just like there are abused poor women.
Christian women getting
abused or have been abused, just like secular women have been abused and get abused. You can have all kinds of faith in the Christian community and still and there's still somebody out there in the humanist community or the secularist community who is trying to, it might not be faith. Faith might not be the word that she's using, but she has a hope that whatever she is going through will come to an end for her too. Her cancer and how that cancer makes her feel is the exact same as a Christian cancer. Okay? If there's a Christian cancer,
then how you feel
as a Christian carrying your cancer is how your sister who ain't saved feels carrying her cancer.
So you're taking away all the diversity and you're bringing together diverse people, but it doesn't matter what those diverse things are. You're coming together for a commonality,
right?
You know, and I love that, so that you all can hear each other's emotions and be heard.
Right.
How I love that, and so can you explain in the conference how you're able to do that and how you're able to help these women heal from their default emotions? Do you have guest speakers and classes and breakout sessions and those kind of things?
Yes, we do. Okay, so the first year, the Hear My Heart Women's Conference, the first year was about Hannah and Penina, and how every Hannah has some Penina in her.
Yes.
Okay. Every Hannah has some Penina in her. And so what I wanted to do was the first conference is I wanted to show your sister all have what one sister might have more of, may have fed more frequently because of her environment. She may have had to give more strength to her Penina than her Hannah, but Hannah has some Penina in her. And so that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to tear down the walls that say, well, you nasty. I ain't nasty. You got all these babies. Oh, at least I didn't have a whole bunch of babies. You know, at least I married. My husband loved me. My husband take care of me. But baby, you got some Penina in you, because if you can see your sister has made all these babies, if you can see that, that's your Penina right there, where you're finding fault with her.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
Where you're finding fault with her. So if you can, so that's what my classes were for. So my first year was just about, hey, come in here. Penina can come. Hannah can come. And we're just going to sit and we're going to talk this thing out. Because if you think about it, Hannah and Penina, Hannah's problem was not Penina. Hannah's problem was her husband. Why do you keep giving her babies? And you know I can't have no baby. Why does God keep blessing you? And you know you ain't doing right. Why is he showing you so much grace and so much goodness, and you know you're not doing right? So we all have that in common. Whether it's that we're making a whole bunch of mistakes, a whole bunch of mess, or we're looking at somebody else's life and accusing them. You know, we all have it. We all have it. So that was the first year. The second year was the Queen series, where I took a bunch of women from different walks of life and I gave them awards. I called them the Rehoboth, the Restoration, and the, Rehoboth, which means God makes room for you, Restoration, which means that whatever you're doing, whatever your gifting is, whatever your calling is, it's to restore other women. And then there's another one, I can't think of what it is off the top of my head, but it's basically where you're in ministry, but you're also a wife and mother. And so it's where you're, you know, publicly preaching and declaring and renouncing and rebuking and binding. But when you come home, you got to wash dishes. And when you come home, your husband still needs you to do a little something for him, because I know you a priestess and all. I know you a prophet and all, but you still got to handle business at home. So I want to celebrate women who aren't so high in their calling that they forget they still have to be a mama. They still have to be a wife, and they're able to balance the books at the end of the day. They're giving their life over to God, and they're being obedient in every area of their life, even if it means you might have to be looking at foreclosure. You might have to bury a child. You might have to, you know, wash your sick spouse up because, you know, he can't wash himself. You know, all of this stuff is ministry, and it's all real.
It is. You're right.
It's all real. So that's what I mean by her emotions are real. Her emotions are real. She is very, very heroic. She knows the word of God. She can exegete a text. She can preach. She can declare. She can decree. But she can also change a diaper. She can also go to a PTA meeting. She can also stand in the court and in the courtroom and say, you know what, please don't lock my child up for beating his wife or molesting a child or whatever. We still have these real issues. So we're not better than each other. We are each other.
We are each other. I love that. It's so true. We have to take care of each other and just
recognize. We have to take care of each other.
We do. And recognize that the Lord, he works, you know, he meets us all individually at our place. And like you said, we all have that Penina in us, and we all need to be humbled and recognize that and listen to each other and help minister to each other. And, we are, unfortunately, we only have a few minutes left of our program, and we're going to have to close out, but I just want you to let our listeners know how, again, they can register for this amazing conference. And also, this weekend is also very affordable, which is another thing I celebrate about this. It's very affordable. You're not promising all these things and then making it affordable, so unaffordable that people can't attend. Can you just tell us about the cost and how your listeners, again, can register for it?
Okay, So to register to the conference, you just have to go to our website, www.streetsofgoldproductions.org. That's O-R-G. It is very affordable, and I did that on purpose so that everybody can come out. And the award dinner, you get to see women, very, very grassroots women who have very real issues. And as a matter of fact, really quick, one of the women that we're celebrating, she was just diagnosed with a cancer. But this woman also has two twin boys that have autism, a little girl that was born with cerebral palsy. I mean, just ridiculous stuff has happened to her. Like, her twins were born in one egg. Because and
wow.
Just crazy. Like, she didn't even have. Long story short. Anyway, so we're celebrating these women. Please come out. Please spread the word. Even if you can't come, please spread the word about it. This is not just another conference. My conference better than her conference, or you know,
right.
It's nothing like that. It's not super deep and spiritual. I'm not going to teach you how to speak in tongues. I'm not going to teach you how to properly roll
gonna scare
on the
people
floor.
Off here.
Right, and that will scare people off. This is not just a church. This is not a churchy conference. This is about sisters coming together, black sisters, white sisters, women coming together. It's about women. So, yes, please share the word, spread the word. It's streetsofgoldproductions.org, and you can get registered for T-shirts. Even if you don't want to support, you know, even if you can't come, donate, because we could certainly use that seed to keep going. We even found out that this will probably be the last year at the location we've been in because they want far more money than we can afford. So I'm believing God. Just stand in the gap for me. Even if you don't like
Amen.
Me, you didn't like this interview, stand in the gap for me, you know, that
yes.
somebody can be helped, that we can help somebody. This year is the Firestarter Conference. And this is where there's a difference, where I, women, there's a difference between setting a fire and starting a fire. There is a difference. You know,
yeah.
if you set something, it's stuck there until it gets moved again. But if you start something, it comes as an origin. There's a beginning. There's a foundation, and it has to keep moving.
That's beautiful. Oh, I love that. That's such a great, that's a great way to wind up this program, Terry. Thank you so much. I'm so humbled, and I'm honored to have you a part of our Up to Me Radio family.
I enjoyed myself. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh,
thank
it was such a blessing. And you're a blessing to the industry and for the kingdom of God and women in this global world. Would you mind if I sent you off with a blessing?
Please do.
Lord, we just thank you for my sister in Christ, Pastor Terry B. Sofer. We know that she is anointed through you to carry out her many Holy Spirit-filled gifts to bring love and hope to your global world here. And we ask that you call all women in need to be a fire starter for their destinies to serve in your great commission and for each other. We just pray also for your protection and your favor over Terry and her conference, over her husband Joseph and their four beautiful children and their Streets of Gold production studio and ministries. And we just ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, Terry. We'll definitely be praying over this conference for you and for next year's location as well. If you would like to learn more about Terry B. Sofer and how you can register again to attend her Hear My Heart Firestarter Women's Conference, you don't want to miss it. Again, it's this October 12th through the 14th at the College Hill Presbyterian Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. You can email her at streetsofgold1@live.com. or visit her website at www.streetsofgoldglobalministries.org or simply call 513-328-2806. And that's 513-328-2806. Remember that tickets are quickly selling and are an affordable rate of just $25, which includes a T-shirt, lunch, and conference materials. I don't know where you can be blessed for a weekend for $25 and be fed
right.
and be ministered to for $25, and just $20 for the award dinner and $12 for the conference only. So if you don't have the time to spend for the entire weekend, just come to the initial conference for $12. This is an amazing value for the huge blessing that you will receive in attending. Terry's feature film, Maddie the Discovery, is coming to the Kingdom Wood Christian Film Festival on October 4th through the 7th in Buckhead, Atlanta, Georgia. To register for that conference, to see a screening, and to meet some of the cast, go to www.kingdomwood.com. And for the many ways on how you can view or help support a screening, send an email to CameronArnettPR@gmail.com, which is CameronArnett, P as in Paul, R as in Robert, at gmail.com, or call 404-422-3023, or visit Terry's website, www.streetsofgoldproductions.org. On social media, you can follow The Anointed Works by Pastor Terry B. Sofer on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Christian Film Database, IMDb Database, and YouTube, respectively. The Up to Be Magazine Show will be back next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. with another fabulous guest to inspire and educate you. So mark your calendars and meet me here at the Gabby G Cafe. And on behalf of Mel D and myself and the entire cast of Up to Me Radio, this is Gabby G saying take five this week and be inspired to ask yourself about your own Up to Me moment. Then come back to share it with us, because you know what? It's your life, your moment. It's up to you. And now a special shout out to Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band for creating our theme song, Wake Up. Listen now in its entirety, and if you like it, you can purchase the song for just 99 cents through cdbaby.com, or simply purchase through our website at Up to Me Radio. Take us out, Mel D, with their fabulous theme song again, Wake Up by Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be, and it's up to you.
Wake up and live. Your life is full of purpose, so work it 'cause you're no longer me have to say, wake up, Danny.